Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. So glad that y'all are here, and welcome back to worship for the new year.
Amen.
And some of you were here last week, some of you were traveling, whatever it may have been, but so glad that we're all back together as a family. Whether you're here or whether you're normally online, thank you for just coming to worship.
Amen.
And that's the only reason we're here, is to give worship and glory to God and to be equipped and to be built up and encouraged so we can go into the world and show the world who Christ is.
Amen.
Some of you know this guy back here in the back sitting down with a squeeze box in his hand, and I'll get out of the way. Don Kinder, I was about I'm here every Sunday.
He has a following. He has a following.
Oh my God.
His accordion has its own Instagram. You can follow his accordion. That's a lie.
Talk to the hand. All right. So, Don, I was about to say, used to be a pastor here. Don is still a pastor and always will be part of our family. And so glad that he's here today to bless us. And I hope that you will be a blessing to him. Just say hello to him. Give him a big old hug. And just as we worship, I was looking at what this first song is going to be, and it's got the word hallelujah in it. And really, hallelujah really means to give praise to the Lord, or praise to the Lord as a literal translation. And so out of Revelation, I want to read this to you. Why don't you stand and let's just get ready to give praise to the Lord. I gave you 30 seconds to sit down. Revelation 19:6 says, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude," all of you, "a great multitude, like a roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, he reigns." And so on the count of three, let's try to be like a mighty roar of water or of thunder, right? And let's just say hallelujah, or more like hallelujah, right? One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
Boy, that's almost good. One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, for our Lord, our God, reigns. But not only does he reign in the universe, Lord God, I know that you are here with us today. And so, Lord, let us be energized by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us be joy-filled by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let you rule and reign, not in heaven, but in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Christ. All the people said,
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. Lord God, we are here in your presence, and Lord, I know I can just feel you. Lord, I can just sense your presence among us. Lord, just the grace and the mercy. Lord, just the tenderness. Lord, also the power and the awe of who you are. Lord, I know your spirit, Lord, and I know when you're close, and I know when you're moving. And Lord, I know you are this very morning in the hearts and the lives of so many people. Lord, so thank you. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you never leave us. Lord, sometimes we need these moments just to be reminded of your presence. But Lord, it's always with us. And so just continue that reminder for each and every one of us. Lord, and as we're gathered today, Lord, there's great things to celebrate. There's new life in the room with babies. Lord, there's new love in the room with just the renewal of covenants and marriages. Lord, there's friends and there's family. Lord, there's healing that's taking place. Lord, even for those that are home today watching, Lord, I know some great things that are going on in their lives. Lord, we have great reasons to give you thanks. But Lord, also at the same time, there are hurts. Lord, there are right now in the very midst of us rejoicing in your presence, Lord, there are families going through just horrible circumstances on this earth. Lord, there are people fighting addictions right now. Lord, they're separated from their families while they're in rehab. Lord, I just pray that you would give them strength, Lord, that you would give them the hope that I know that they have in you. Lord, you would let that well up inside them. Lord, that you would also mend their family in the midst of that. That trauma in their lives. Lord, families with little boys, sons, Lord, that are fighting for their very lives today in a hospital. Lord, I can't imagine, even as a parent, what that is like. So, Lord, I just pray your covering over that family and over that little boy. Lord, I pray for a family who's experienced loss of a loved one, Lord, in tragic ways and just heartbreaking ways.
Yes,
Lord, be with them. Lord, and those are just three that I know of this very morning. Lord, there are so many more. Lord, and I just pray that as we are here, Lord, in my earnest prayer for them, Lord, our intercession on their behalf, Lord, to just somehow stand in the gap of their lives just for a moment, Lord, that would be so in so many others. The ones that I don't know about, the ones that we have not shared. Lord, please, Lord, I beg you this morning, that your power would be ever evident in their lives.
Yes.
Because that is the way that lives will be changed, that hope will be fulfilled, and Lord, that we will continue your ministry in this world. It's through your love, your power, your healing, and your hope. Lord, let it be so, all in the name of Christ. And everybody, if you will just agree with that, and if you will just go on today in that prayer, you will agree and just say amen. We have an opportunity to give this morning. I want to pray for your finances. I always say those are just as important as everything else that we do. And if it's important to you, it's always important to God. And I know with the economy and things that are going on, I want to lift that up to you. So, Lord God, as we give today, let it not just be out of routine. Even if we have an automatic draft, Lord, that comes out of our bank account. Lord, I pray that we would just be ever mindful of it, and Lord, that we would wholeheartedly give it to you out of the joy of our heart. Still might be difficult, may not be an easy task, but that it would be a promising one of the hope and the joy that you have in the world. Lord, bless each giver, Lord, as they give of their money. It's a sacrifice on their part. And as they do, Lord, I just pray that you would continue to be their provider, give them provisions over their life. To continue your work in ministry in their own family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Before we dismiss the kids, I just want to remind everybody that all of our Sunday evening activities start back up tonight. Yes, we have stuff for kids. We have stuff for youth. We have stuff for the grown-ups. We open this back door right back here. And so everybody comes in through over here if you've never been here. We feed the kids, we feed the youth, they learn stuff, they worship, they get to hang out together. It's a really good time. And then, like I said, there's adult small groups as well, so y'all can stay and hang out too, grown-ups. And that is from 5 to 7 tonight. All right, kiddos, let's head out. Come on. I'm so glad everybody's back.
Would you do me a favor? How about this? You just go ahead. Would you do me a favor? In Sunday school where I was sitting, I'm desperately hoping my sermon's sitting there on that table. And if it's not, then the Lord always has a better plan than I do, and we can go with that too. I was kind of thinking that's why the lights are being turned out on me. I was like, well, somebody knows something I don't, and we're just going to move on. So we are going to continue a little bit in our series, What Next, or Now What, or however you want to say what you want to say after Christmas. You've taken down all the decorations. Everything's done. I found this picture on the internet. Somebody's tree is laying out in the gutter, getting ready for somebody to pick it up in the world, probably in a town where they do that, I hope, and they just didn't throw it out in their front yard. But, you know, whatever. And as we do that and get going, as soon as I find my slides here, they are going to pop up. If you want the notes from today, you can text to that phone number. I'll give you a QR code here in just a minute, and you can scan that as well. But when you think about a new year and a new start, I want to go back to last year at this very same time. And we had this scripture that we were talking about. Oh, y'all are safe, and I just don't get to pontificate by the power of the Holy Spirit until I think I'm done. Oh, yeah, that's it. Thanks. It was on my desk. Thanks to my wife. Y'all can give her thanks later. Is that idea of we need to wake up from our sleepiness. And the scripture is, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and let Christ shine upon you. That's what we started with last year. And ask you the questions. Here's the QR code. Ask you the questions of, are you ready for what your purpose is in life? Why were you put here on planet Earth? Are you ready for something new? Are you ready to wake up from your slumber, from your routine, and from the old things, and just from the humdrum? And just, are you ready to be different? And a lot of you said yes, and so I'm curious. I gave you 12 months. That's plenty of time. How many of y'all think that you are different, or you woke up, or you know what your purpose in life is? Not very many of you. So that's why we're going to kind of go back to that, and I'm going to give you a new way to try to do that this year in the coming of the future days of your life. Not because it's a New Year's resolution. I'm not a big New Year's resolution person because I know my personality. I have ADHD in life, not just particularly diagnosed, but I don't stick to too many things too long for very long. And I get bored and I go on. And so I know it's just not good for me to do that because then I fail and then I feel bad and then I all those things. But I do think there are reasons to promote doing something new in life. Because especially in Christ, he calls us to constant transformation all the time. And so that's what I want to do today. And so today, as we go through now what, we went through Christmas, we heard about the birth of Christ, you've heard all the great stories, all the kids were up here, and they gave you the Christmas story, and the worship was beautiful, and we had all the things that went on, we had candlelight, and now we're kind of back to the same routine. Okay, some of you are, we have a great crowd today. Some of you are back to that, okay, we start back to school this week, we go back to work this week, a new routine, some New Year's resolutions right here, I bet. Don't raise your hand. I'm gonna pray that you continue that. But really, what do we do now? And I think we can ask ourselves this every other week, every other month. Every other breath is what do we do now? And so I want to dive into that today, because what I want to go back to also, right, is this idea of Ephesians. It says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. How do we expose the things in our life that we need to transform? How do we expose the things in our life that need renewal? How do we expose the things in our life that cause us to get comfortable in sleeping? Okay, here's what I think that we need. I don't know about all of you, but sometimes when I get in a hot shower, I want to stay there for a long time. Anybody besides me in the room? Yeah, I mean, it just feels good. Now, how many of you are psycho like I am? And the only way sometimes I will get out of that hot shower is if I turn it to cold and let that hit me, and then I have to turn it off and get out. Yeah, I am the psycho. I mean, sometimes I need just blatant motivation to keep moving. And whatever it's going to take, for sometimes we need to be exposed, or we need exposure in our life to be able to move away from that thing to keep moving and following Christ. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing, just a comfortable thing. We have to realize that we don't need to be there anymore. We need to keep moving and keep following Christ. And so as we started this idea, I want to go back to Mark 1:15. It says, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. So for you this morning, right now, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is in our midst. We are in the midst of the kingdom. We are in the presence and the power and the glory of God. And that's just not a preacherly thing. I mean, I'm so serious. I mean, I wish I could lift a veil up and let you just see where the Lord is moving and working, where you could feel his presence, where you could in a tactile way, in a factual way, in a hard physical evidence way, because he is. I can feel it. I know it. I just don't know how to get you to feel it and know it. It's not just goosebumps. It's not just butterflies in your stomach. It's not just, oh my gosh, that was great worship and that felt so good and all of that. No, that really is the presence of God. That's the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That is Him that has come to be with us, God coming near, but He never leaves. As I said, He never leaves. And so we started with this question, now what? I want to give you what? I want to give you a way to be able to do this. I want to give you an understanding of why this is important, why we don't need to stay where we are, why we don't need to be the same Christian that we are today as we are tomorrow. And so let me go to Hebrews. Verses 1 through 3 right here, okay? It says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He's spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation, or let me say it this way, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus speaks to us. Let me say it again. Jesus does speak to you. Not just me. Not just us as in some generic humanity way. I'm telling you, He speaks to you. And you go, I've never heard Him. And I'm going to be smart aleck and say, number one, you've never asked and you've never listened. Because He speaks to you. I've never heard Him because you've never asked, and then you've never listened if you have asked. Put on your steel-toned shoes because you've never asked and you've never sat around long enough to listen. Right? And so we need that. I need you. Your pastor needs you as the leader of the church, as the one who inspires you and equips you to go out and do the good works, to go out and preach the good news, the one to go out to be the witness. In Sunday school today, somebody said that our life is what we say, what we promise, what we pledge when we become a part of the Christian faith. Will uphold the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That's my job. If I have a job, my J-O-B is to get you equipped to go out and do those things. That's all my job is to make you preachers and teachers and leaders to go out and promote who Christ is, to create more disciples, more teachers, more preachers, more leaders. That's all we're here for, is for the transformation. And so I want to go back to, though, in these, about halfway down through that, in these last days. Because we are, have you ever heard, we're living in the last days. There's a book out there, I think, called Last Days Living, or maybe a movie, I don't know. But we're in these last days. And everybody wants to think of these last days as, oh my gosh, the apocalypse is coming, right? And that's not what this means. This is not some apocalyptic last days, volcanoes and earthquakes and fires and wars and all the things. Even though those are some prophecies, I'll give you that. When we're talking about last days, though, we're talking about something different. Because Scripture only talks to us in two ways. When you think about the way Jesus speaks to us, Scripture has two time periods, okay? We talk about Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, okay? That's fine, but Scripture only talks about two ways of thinking in time, and one of those is these last days, right? And the other is the days to come. And we live in the last days, and we've been living in the last days, and I'll explain to you that, because really, they also call it this present and evil age. This present and evil age. Now, I know you look around the world, and you think of everything that's going on, and you can see the evil, right? You can see all the things that are going on. I'm not even going to belabor that. But what is this age to come? And you go, oh, that's heaven. That's going to be great. That's going to be wonderful. So now we're back to what I've been trying to talk to you about for a year. It's not just about your past, and it's not just about your future. It's about now. And that's where these last days and the age to come have collided, because the last days are over here, if you can think of one sphere, one world, however you want to think of that, and then another one, the age to come, those aren't just separate and those aren't moving together. No, they're coming towards each other and they are colliding. They're colliding together and they look like this, okay? And so this this drawing right here, this artistic work, I need to give credit to the person who did that, because that's not me. And Marcia Matthews Little. So there's a Facebook post and a Facebook thread and a group that where these things are being talked about. J.D. Walt and New Room and all the things that I get to experience. She drew this, trying to illustrate this very fact that we're talking about. And so if you look at it, you have this present age where there's creation and corruption, right? All the things that God did, then all the ways we corrupted everything God did. And then if you go all the way over to the other side, you have the age to come, the new creation, right? And it's called the consummation, which means the final act of, right? The fulfillment of what God has intended. But in the middle is where we are living. Because you have thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? The things to come that are colliding with the present age, and we're living here. And so why is Scripture telling us, why are you telling us all this, Matt? This is so heady. This is so academic. This is so biblical. It's because something has happened in the last days that causes us to know we're in the last days. That causes us to want to be more urgent about our living, to be more intentional about our living. And that thing is Jesus. That action is Jesus. That person is Jesus. And so this idea of last days living, I want you to know how to live, as Scripture says, in these last days He has spoken to us. Because look, Jesus comes. You have that little star on the left. Over here. See, that's the thing that happened. That's the action of God that took place to say, okay, here's where we are, and here's how you should be living. And you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have the letters. You have all the, I mean, just you have the whole New Testament, but you have all the testimony going back to the prophecy of the Old Testament, and it's like, here we are. And what are we going to do with this? And how are we supposed to live? So in the middle, we're in this idea of consecration. And what that means is you've been consecrated as one of God's children, and now we should be living it out day by day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your life and heaven breaking into your life, and you helping heaven break into other people's lives. Every day, all day, every day. And in the middle, it's not just talking about pastors. It's talking about you. Matter of fact, I mean, I could get real theological and say this really doesn't even have anything to do with pastors. Because we're talking about somewhere else. This is really, yes, I'm a Christian, but if you want to talk about tasks, this really talks about everybody but pastors. Because the pastors should already be doing their job and doing their role to get you ready for this. And so how do you do that? How do we live these last days out? And why do I know it's not just about me, but it's also about you? Because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Out of the present age over there into the now age, into that consecration. For you were once not a people, old age, but now you are the people of God. You had not yet received mercy, but now have received mercy. See, this is your call. We had a Bible study on Thursday night, and I said, what potential do you have inside of you for what God is calling you to do that you can bring to life? What's inside of you that you can muster up by the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God's calling you to do? And the first question was, well, don't we have to first know what God's calling us to do? Yes! yes. And that's what I want to do today. That's what I want to help you do today, because now we're back to Jesus speaks to us, and that's where you say, well, Jesus, okay, now what? Now what? Okay, well, you ask the question, Jesus, now what? And so you have to start listening. You have to start listening. And so how do we do that? Well, I like to have resources at my fingertips. I like my Bible. I don't always carry it with me, so I always have my Bible, and so do you. Okay? And so, but I like to have my resources right here. I like to be able to go to it. I wish I only had one Bible, because I've written in this one, and I've written in another one, and I've written in another one, and then I go try to find which one I made these glorious notes in that I really want to go back to, and I never can find them. But I'm just telling you, it's good to have one that you take notes in. What? Yes, I know somebody taught you cannot write in textbooks. This is not a textbook. This is the owner's manual. It's yours. It's the living word of God. You can put sticky notes in it. You can have torn pages in it. You can write in it. You can highlight in it. Right? I mean, I'm going to tell on him, and I've told you before, if you find Andy Hurst and say, can I see your Bible? It's twice as big as mine, because he drops it in the bathtub all the time, and it swole up. He just gave me another book, and he said, as he hands it to me, he goes, sorry, you can see I've dropped this in the bathtub a few times. I'm like, oh! No, I'm just kidding. So, I mean, use it. Mark it up. I've got one Bible I need to have rebound because I've torn it up. See, so get you a Bible. And if you have to have the digital version, that's fine. If you get the right Bible app, you can highlight and you can make notes too. Okay? But now, what I've read is, I don't think there are any battery chargers in heaven. And so when we get there and yours runs dry and dies, I'm still going to have mine. So I really encourage you to use a written one. That's funny. Come on now. I worked on that for like 20 minutes. I mean, that's a good joke. Here's what I want you to do. When somebody, there are baskets over here. There's a big basket back there. We need like 5, 6, 10 people. I don't know. Grab some of those baskets. So I had these made. These are little sand timers. They're 5-minute timers. Okay. They're 5-minute timers. They have a little suction cup on them. And so you can put them on your bathroom mirror. You can put them on your car mirror, your rearview mirror. You can put them on your window. You can put them on your computer screen. I mean, if you're always looking at, you know, a screen, you can put it on your screen. Isn't that great? If you'll just take those and pass them around, everybody can have one. There are plenty. And so you can take one for somebody that's not here. I'll keep giving these out. I think it's so important. And so here's how we're going to do this. I encourage you to grab your Bible, to find a place that you want to start reading, okay? I didn't realize there's going to be like a bunch of marsupials playing with cellophane. Gosh, that's loud. Sounds like rain. That's so much more positive. You take your Bible and you find a place that you want to start reading. In most Bibles, they have this little thing in the back. It's called an index, or it's called a concordance. It's called all sorts of things. There are ways to go back in the back and find topics that you want to learn about, that you want to read about. There are key words. There's all sorts of ways to do it. You can do it that way. Or if you don't know where you want to start, I encourage you to probably pick Mark, okay, the book of Mark. Very fast-paced. There's a lot of exclamation points in Mark. I mean, he talks fast and he talks loud and he's very to the point. That's why I really like him. And it gives you an overview. Mark gives you an overview of what Jesus did, okay? Actions of Christ. If you want to know who Jesus is, I encourage you to pick up the book of John and start reading in John, because that's where it has so many of the I ams. Jesus says, I am. He really identifies who he is, and it shows us his heart, okay? Now, that's not exclusive to those two books, but I'm just telling you, those are two great places to start. Start in Mark or John. Always encourage you, please. I'm just going to say this, and some preacher's not going to be happy with me somewhere in the world, but I just encourage you probably not to pick up the book and start in Exodus. That's probably not a great idea. Don't go to Judges. Probably really not a good idea. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the Gospels, and then let's learn why we need to go back and see the origins. Because Jesus is, by the way, in Exodus. Jesus is in Judges. He's in every book. But I just think that's very important to say that. And so then, as you sit down, don't say, oh, I'm going to... By the way, I am doing a Through the Bible in a Year. You can go to pastormatt.life. You can go to our webpage, Facebook pages, all that's there. There's a daily reading. Don't sit down with your Bible and say, oh, wow, I'm going to read the book of Matthew today. No, you're not. And you can say that you are, but you're probably not. Even if you get through it, I promise you, you didn't read all of it. But take your timer, okay? And I've been saying it forever, and this is a great idea, okay? Take your timer, and as you read, start the Speak, Lord side. 5 minutes, okay? I've practiced this. I've tried this. I started in John, and guess how far I got in 5 minutes? Less than one chapter of one book. So this is not going to be hard. It's not time consuming. It's 5 minutes. And then after you read that, have you a pen and paper handy? And even while you're reading, have a pen and paper handy. I really don't need paper because I write on the paper in my book. I also take notes elsewhere. I don't journal. There is a great journaling class coming, and so you can get more about that online as well. But after you've read for 5 minutes and you've said, really, it's a prayer as you start, say, Lord, just speak to me, right? Take a Top Gun. Speak to me, Goose. Speak to me, God. And then after you've read for 5 minutes, turn it over, and you don't have to get in solid meditation. You don't have to get in a certain stance or position. You don't have to put on a hat. You don't have to get out your prayer shawl. You can do all those things if you want. But just spend 5 minutes just either listening or going back through the scripture and listening and say, Lord, now I'm listening. What do you want to say to me? How do you want to speak to me? Because we will never be transformed, never, ever be transformed if we don't know that Jesus speaks to us. We will never be transformed if we don't hear Jesus speaking to us. If we don't hear the Holy Spirit, that prompting, okay? Now, let me tell you, I read the first chapter, not even all of the first chapter of John, in 5 minutes on Friday, just trying to practice this so I could give you some practical application. And here's what the Lord said to me. I need you to call so-and-so. No. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want you to talk to me. Call so-and-so. So I called them. And that person was pulling up to the emergency room at UMC. Had nothing to do with the first chapter of John. But it was just, I heard the Lord. All of a sudden, this person popped in my head. You need to call him. Okay. I didn't take any notes other than, oh, I didn't get a lot out of this today, right? That's what I thought in my mind, but it was the Lord telling me what to do. It was the Lord speaking to me, and that may be you. It may be you need to have this prayer. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to go talk to so-and-so, or it might be some great theological, let me just try to find some great theological something that I wrote down. You notice I'm going to have to look for a minute because, you know, that's just the way it is. And so if we go over here, okay, so Luke chapter 5, I have a few notes at the top, chapter 5:5. Working hard is nothing without Jesus' direction. Where and what you are working so hard for and at is really for no reason without Jesus' direction. That may not be for you, that was really for me. I wrote questions. It says, do not fear what? Do not fear who, right? And then somewhere else in here, I'm sure it was about fishing. Oh, yeah, catchers of men. It says, catching is not simply fishing. That's just what I got out of that day. So, 10 minutes. That was 5 minutes right there. And you went, really? Because that seemed like an hour. That was 5 minutes. And in 5 more minutes, imagine what the Lord can say to you. Worship team, come on up. Because I promise you that if you will practice this, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. Let Christ shine upon you. If you will just practice this, I mean, I'm making you a promise that I'm counting on the Lord to fulfill, because I'm not going to do this, but I promise you that you will be awakened. I promise you that if you will do this, that you'll know the presence of the Lord. I promise you that if you do this, you will hear Jesus speaking. I can guarantee this. I promise you that if you will just do this, that Christ will shine upon you. Guaranteed. And not an arrogant statement, has nothing to do with me, but if you don't think it makes a difference, ask the person that's still in the hospital at UMC, that somebody called him on the way to the emergency room that didn't know he was on the way to the emergency room. And I said, well, I'm glad I called. The Holy Spirit, I just felt like I needed to call you. That person doesn't go to church. That person has asked me to come talk to you. See, just one little bitty thing, one phone call. And that's not because I'm some super spiritual person. That's just because I heard, I obeyed, and I did it. You can do it too. That's how we're going to transform our lives and the lives of others.
Amen.
So Lord, speak to us. Man, I hope everybody in the room that knows Top Gun, Lord, when they talk to you, that's how emphatic they are with you. Because they know that you are the one leading them and guiding them, Lord. Speak to us. Lord, speak to us. Lord, let us listen. Let us read your word. And Lord, let us just wait upon you. And Lord, I'm gonna commit us. Lord, we're going to give you 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day. And I pray that as we do, that great things will happen, Lord, that we will be awakened and that you will shine upon us. And we will reflect your glory, your majesty, your love, your care, and your compassion to those who are. Speak, Lord. We are listening. In the name of Christ, amen. Just had this thought. Tomorrow when you do this, or today, for a lot of you, it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel funny. Your kids are going to see you, and they're going to walk by going, what is he doing? They're going to walk by going, where'd y'all get that Bible? Oh, come on, you know it's true, okay? But here's how this is going to work. It's just like starting anything new. The first time you eat a salad instead of a hamburger, you're going, what is the point? All right? When you walk into the gym for the first time and everybody's staring at you because they know you've never been before. Or when you put 10 pounds on the bar and the person next to you is doing 225. You're like, this is doing no good at all. No, it is.
Yes, it is.
And it will. And it's called persistence.
Yes, it is.
It's called running the race. It's called finishing the course. It's called doing it day after day after day after day. And the light of Christ will shine upon you. Lord God, as we go from this place, let us know that there is a mighty wind. There is a rushing wind. There's a raging storm inside of us. Even if we can't feel it, but let it well up inside of us and let it change us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we are listening.